Today on KBOO News In Depth, residents and visitors to the Oregon coast this month have been alarmed by the presence of bright purple-colored waves washing up on the shore in multiple locations. For more on what might be causing these waves, KBOO's Janka Soderberg spoke with science and climate blogger Robert Fanny.
How widespread are these purple-colored waves that have been spotted on the Oregon coast?
It's appeared up and down the Oregon coastline at many locations. I particularly read about a couple of reports that had appeared in the news, and there were a number of eyewitness reports that had also spurred my own reports. So, to my knowledge, these instances have been occurring since late July and have been more widespread than a similar instance that occurred back in 2010 at Manzanita.
And where are the reports coming from? Are there agencies involved, federal, state, or local, or are they all from just amateur people on the beach taking pictures or seeing them?
Well, primarily the only reports were coming from eyewitness accounts of people on the beach, people filming them on YouTube, things like that. And then a local media source called OC or Oregon Coast had picked up some of the reports as well. Finally, these reports did spur a debate among Oregon coastal researchers. It was primarily an internal debate that was not widely publicized. And then those researchers began to issue some very preliminary findings as to what may be causing the purple waves.
And have they actually gone in and done testing of the water that you know of?
To my knowledge, there has been some testing, and there's been some initial claims made, but there's really been nothing conclusive as to what's been found in the water. I mean, I wrote a blog about, you know, some organisms that may cause that purple coloration. There are really very few organisms that cause that kind of pigmentation in the water, and there's one particularly concerning type of organism that I wrote a bit about.
And the Hatfield Marine Science Center has speculated that it may be a form of protozoan, a phytoplankton that is common on the Oregon coast. What are the chances that is a correct assessment?
Actually, to my knowledge, the Hatfield has indicated that it might be a salp. A salp is a kind of vertebrate jellyfish. And so if it is salps, there's a few questions to be raised, because salps are clear in pigmentation. They do not typically have a purple coloration, so there would have to be something in the water or some new adaptation that's causing them to change color. If it is salps, they would have to be very widespread in order to, you know, color the water purple in the way that we're seeing it. I mean, it almost appears as if there's an iridescent purple dye in the water. And the type of organism that would typically cause that is not a salp. So the reports from Hatfield, at least in my opinion, require a bit more explanation as to why salps may be causing that purple coloration, because salps are typically clear.
And that is salp, S-A-L-P, that you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. S-A-L-P.
And that's a small organism that's on the surface of the ocean?
It's a jellyfish-like organism. It's an organism that feeds on bacteria. And they're generally small in size, a few millimeters. When full grown and in their juvenile forms, they're much smaller.
And you have put forward a possibility that is much more alarming than this salp possibility, which is a purple sulfur bacteria. Could you talk about how that might be a possibility in causing these purple waves on the Oregon coast?
Well, part of the issue is the fact that ocean health off both Oregon and Washington has been declining in recent years. There have been more ocean dead zones in noxic regions. And in addition, this year we've had very warm waters off the Oregon coastline, off Oregon and Washington, in particular in association with a phenomenon called the hot blob in the northeastern Pacific. And the issue is that if those waters become anoxic enough, they become an environment that is more favorable for the development of a very dangerous form of microbe, hydrogen sulfide producing bacteria. And there's another kind of bacteria that lives in a kind of symbiotic relationship with these hydrogen sulfide producing microbes, which is called a purple sulfur bacteria. And it has a very characteristic purple pigmentation. And if somehow salps are because salps feed on bacteria and algae blooms, if salps are somehow feeding on smaller blooms in the offshore region of this purple sulfur bacteria, then they may be coming in closer to shore when they're spawning. And then it's not common for salps to spawn close to shore as they are now. So they may also be being driven closer to shore by less healthy ocean conditions. The thing is that a transition to a kind of anoxic state where these more dangerous microbes develop is a serious indication of declining ocean health and of a transition to a more stratified, possibly even very, very early stages of flickerings of what paleoclimate researchers call a Canfield-type ocean state.
What is a Canfield ocean state?
Well, a Canfield ocean is an ocean that is anoxic in total. It is very.
What does anoxic mean? That doesn't have oxygen.
It's very low in oxygen, low oxygen or no oxygen, and a low oxygen or no oxygen ocean state is not very life supported. It primarily just supports anaerobic microbes. And the kinds of anaerobic microbes that live in those oceans can color them iridescent green, iridescent purple, or even black by forming these very dense microbial mats. And it's not a very healthy ocean at all. It's basically an ocean filled with toxic goo.
So this may be an indication that the Pacific Ocean, at least parts of it, are dying off or becoming a dead ocean in some ways?
Yes, absolutely. If we start to see a larger regions where hydrogen sulfide-based organisms start to develop, especially in the near-surface regions, then that is absolutely an indication of severe decline in ocean health, of ocean die-off.
And this comes in the context of a lot of other die-offs going on in the Pacific Ocean that we have heard and reported on. What do you think might be some of the causes of that in our region here?
Well, if you start warming the ocean, if you dump a lot of nutrients into the ocean as we do through industrial farming and agriculture and also through fossil fuel emissions, which loads the air with nitrogen, which is a food for all sorts of microbial life. What you end up with are these very large microbial blooms. You're creating an environment that is favorable for large algae blooms. And when those algae blooms proliferate, they rob the ocean in that region of nutrients, and eventually they starve themselves out and then die off. And when they die off, the decaying microcellular bodies of these organisms rob the ocean of oxygen. And it's that cycle of large bloom and die-off that creates serious implications for ocean health. What ends up happening is these large blooms can produce a number of biotoxins, including domoic acid, which you guys have a very severe problem with along the Oregon coastline, especially this year. There are about 12 or 13 different biotoxins that are produced by these algae blooms, and that can then biomagnify through the food chain and cause problems. In addition, as the ocean warms, it becomes more supportive of various different kinds of diseases, and it's suspected that chronic starfish wasting syndrome, which severely impacted starfish in your region, was a result, at least in part, of warmer waters that made it more favorable for that bug to develop. Overall, warmer waters are less life supportive. And so as the waters warm, you have a less rich food chain. And this makes it more difficult for higher creatures like sea lions, for example, to find food for their pups. And as I said before, if there are more biotoxins in the water or in the food chain due to large algae blooms, they tend to hit creatures like dolphins, sea lions, otters first, because all the various creatures that are feeding on these toxins magnify them on up the food chain. And so if you get an otter, say, eating an oyster, which has been filter feeding algae that is loaded with biotoxin for months, it's going to get a huge dose of it. And the same is the case with whales, sea lions, larger fish like salmon. So warming the ocean is not something that you want to do, and loading the ocean up with all these various nutrients which are flushing down our streams and falling out due to our fossil fuel burning is really a recipe for severely declining ocean health.
Well, not a good sign what we're seeing then on the Oregon coastline. And I guess the way to address it is to address the issue of climate change and the CO2 emissions.
Dealing with it is really a long-term issue. And we've spent a century developing all the infrastructure that's producing the problem, and now we really need to get our act together to try and stop it. And part of the problem is that the problem is worsening and hitting, in some cases, tipping points where whole ecosystems are starting to become impacted and where we're seeing mass die-offs. And we really don't want to be in this kind of situation. And if we warm the world by another 1 degree Celsius, if we are continue to increase the amount of nutrients that we flush downstreams and load the atmosphere up with, the situation is just going to get worse. It's a kind of situation that's similar, although we're really in a, I guess, what would you call very early stages. But it's similar to other instances of mass extinction that have occurred in the geological past. And one of the things you really don't want to do is warm the oceans up and load the oceans up with a lot of nutrients for microbes to feed on, which is what we're doing.
Well, I do want to thank you for that. Again, I'm speaking with Robert Fanny, his blog, robertscribbler.com, where you can find more information about the purple waves on the Oregon coast that have caused a lot of speculation and some uncertainty as to what might be causing them. Also, beachconnection.net has information as well. Robert, thank you for joining us on KBOO Radio.
Thank you so much.
This is Jenka Soderberg with KBOO News.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 5:59 p.m. Coming up next, Rose City Native Radio.
Have you entered the KBOO Fall Membership Drive Sweepstakes? The grand prize is a trip to Busurias, Mexico, including $1,000 in airfare and a week's worth of lodging at Casa Tranquila. Other prizes include a Portland Center Stage Flex Pass, hundreds of dollars to Grand Central Bakery, and health and wellness packages at Evolution Healthcare and Fitness. We have raised over $10,000 at this time to help shorten the fall membership drive. Remember, for every $15,000 we raise before September 9th, we will take one day off our fall membership drive. A donation is not required to enter the sweepstakes. For more info, visit kboo.fm/2015fallsweeps. And thank you to everyone who has donated early to the fall membership drive.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present Arresting Power, Resisting Police Violence in Portland, Oregon, as part of the KBOO at the Clinton Monthly Film Series. Arresting Power documents the history of conflict between the Portland police and community members throughout the past 50 years and creates a space for understanding the impacts of police violence and imagining a world without police. Again, that's Arresting Power, Thursday, September 10th,